presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
What is up, Cougar Nation? Good evening and welcome on into Cougar Nation, a BYU basketball edition. We're tipping off the basketball edition of Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, every Saturday from noon to 3, and here on Cougar Nation 6 to 7, we interact with you, Cougar Nation. Take your phone calls, read your texts, as we will discuss Monday nights throughout the BYU hoops season, this Cougar basketball team that's off to such a fast start.
Hey, and full transparency with Cougar Nation, Mitch. The reason we're rolling Cougar Nation back for basketball is because of you, Cougar Nation. The original intent was football only, but the response to the football edition of Cougar Nation was so well received, and we had such great interactions on the phone lines with BYU fans, we had to do it for the first year of Big 12 basketball. So thanks to you, and with this comes a responsibility for Cougar Nation to keep calling in for BYU basketball season. We're going to be doing it all throughout Big 12 play. There'll be a little break for Christmas time, but we'll be back after the holidays doing more Cougar Nation basketball right in the thick of Big 12 play. So shout out to you, Cougar Nation, for helping us roll out this show for basketball. We're looking forward to it.
What a start, too, for BYU basketball. The Cougars are 7-0 on the season. They got a game tomorrow night against Evansville. 7 o'clock here on KSL. Pre-game gets going at 6 inside the Marriott Center. Right now, though, let's kind of look back at what we've seen thus far through the first 7 games with our takeaways.
Takeaway number one for me, Mitch, is this team, the best three-point shooting team in the country in terms of three-point makes. We could argue, is it percentage? Is it number of shots made? I like to think it's the number of threes made, because if you make more threes than your opponent, you got a good chance to win a lot of basketball games, and I think that's the number one reason this team is nationally ranked. I think it's the number one reason this team is top 10 in the KenPom. We could go rankings for the rest of the show if we wanted to. That's how well they're playing. But to me, it all starts with the three-point shot. I've said this for years, and I think you and I are on the same wavelength here. BYU basketball is never going to out-athlete teams in the Big 12. They cannot do it. What they can do is outshoot teams. And the first year that Mark Pope was here, the reason a lot of people thought they could have went to the Final Four if there had been a tournament is because of their three-point shooting. This year feels a lot like that. Look, they're not the tallest team. They may be out-rebounded in some games, but if they can shoot the three ball well like they've done, they could surprise a lot of people like they've done for me. I did not think they'd be this good at this point because I didn't believe this team could shoot the three like this. They've proven me wrong. They are a great three-point shooting team.
I love watching a team that can knock down the three at a high level, and BYU can do it. It's a thing of beauty to watch because this sort of team works in basketball today. Yes, the days of old where you have to have a traditional big and just own the paint. You can make an argument, Matt, where teams that have the traditional big like a Purdue who has Zach Edey, that doesn't work in today's college basketball. How Mark Pope has constructed this team, it works in basketball at all levels, and especially in college basketball, because if you're a high-level three-point shooting team, it's going to give you a chance to take down anyone. And that is a calling card that BYU needs to have, because when you talk about facing anyone, you're facing the best of the best every single night coming up in the Big 12 Conference, which is still the best league in America, as they're showing it in the Big 12 Big East battle right now. This is a team that's playing with so much confidence, and that ties into my takeaway number two. The chemistry of this team is off the charts, and you think about this offseason, for fans that are kind of getting up to speed on BYU basketball and kind of learning and getting to know this group, the offseason was filled with a lot of negativity. I think there was a faction of the BYU fan base and maybe boosters and maybe you could even go up as high as administrators in the athletic department where they didn't like Mark Pope. And they were ready to say, this guy isn't a fix. And think about what they did in women's basketball. where they wiped the slate clean with Jeff Judkins, the winningest coach in basketball history, men's or women's,
yep.
and said, we want to have a clean break before we go to the Big 12 and start anew. They could have said that. And after last year, it could have been easily said, we're moving on from Mark Pope, want to be done. They stuck with him. Mark Pope has been relentless in staying true to the course, not listening to the outside noise. Credit to him, because there was a lot of detractors on him, and he goes about it in his own way, in a unique way. But I think it's paying off because BYU is a close-knit group right now.
What do you think was the biggest move for Coach Pope in the offseason in terms of retention or the portal? Because that chemistry has played a huge role in their success.
Keeping Dallin Hall was huge for BYU. You know, they lost Quez Glover to NIL, and it was interesting over the weekend. Trey Stewart's on Instagram Live at the Marriott here just nearby Triad Center, and they're getting ready for their game at Fresno State, and they're all playing Super Smash Bros. Inside their hotel room. Quez Glover hops in on Instagram Live and says, miss you guys. And it's like he's probably not liking it as well at K-State as he did at BYU. This is a close-knit locker room. These guys love being together at all times. And when you have that dynamic, it makes for a special team. A lot was discussed in recent years about BLRA, best locker room in America. It was gone the past 2 years. Even Trevenel told us this past weekend on Cougar Sports Saturday, BLRA was gone. It's back for this group, and they love being with each other. There's chemistry there, and even though a guy like Fusini Traore is injured, this team's still moving at a high level and executing, and I think that chemistry and that foreign trip they had to Croatia and Italy played a big role to bring this team together.
You touched on this just a moment ago, but another takeaway I have, Mitch, and a shameless plug for our other show, Cougar Sports Saturday. We do that every single Saturday, 12 to 3, right here on KSL's Radio. You had an interview with Trevenel. Always love talking with Trevenel. My takeaway is his return was understated. And his ability to shoot the three, I think, changes the projection of this team. Without him, last year, you saw some streaky shooters, and there just was not enough consistency there. With him back, you have a dead-eye sharpshooter that takes the pressure off everybody else. It unlocks everybody else. Noah Waterman, another guy we caught up with last week on Cougar Sports Saturday, said that Trevenel shoots 90% from three. Maybe in practice he does, not quite in the games, but when you have a guy who is reliably 45%, it changes everything. And he's a guy that Mark Pope wants him, he wants him to shoot 10 threes a game. Let's say he doesn't, but he's, let's say, 3 for 6 every single game. That's 9 points just from a dedicated three-ball shooter. It's so critical in today's college basketball to have someone that you can rely on to make threes night in and night out. Trevenel being back is a way bigger deal than I ever thought it would be.
801-575-8255. That's the phone line. And also text line 57500. Text BYU to 57500, and you can get BYU updates, stories, updates, score alerts on BYU basketball and BYU football, too, here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. Taking our first time out of the BYU basketball season here on Cougar Nation. We'll be back talking more Cougar hoops and looking ahead to this week's game, a huge one against the Utah Utes. All right, here on Cougar Nation, it's powered by KSL Sport.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, Basketball Edition, Episode 1, if you want to call it that. We're rolling out basketball, Cougar Nation. Next week, we'll be off. There's a Jazz game that will take over the spot. Then there's the holidays, and then after that, we'll be back every single Monday, 6 to 7, right here on KSL News Radio, Cougar Nation Basketball, taking your calls, talking about a team that has surprised a lot of folks. I think they're quietly becoming one of the best storylines of college basketball right now because this is a team that did not have a good year last year, in the final year of the WCC, and you looked at the roster, a lot of those guys are back, and you wondered, how are they going to do in the Big 12? They were picked to finish second last in the Big 12. Not second behind Kansas, a second last, 13 out of 14 in this year's Big 12. This does not look like a team that's going to finish at the bottom of the conference right now. Why do you think that is, Mitch?
It's a team that has a lot of trust in one another. Their communication, as Mark Pope discussed, is off the charts right now. And I think that they know exactly where they need to be when they run a certain play call, and they are an up-tempo team. The tempo still hasn't bore out the numbers that maybe they'd even like, but, man, they can win in a variety of ways, and I think it's just worked out nicely. And credit to Mark Pope for this team to believe in roster retention. You know, he told us in October 2022, I remember sitting down with him for a one-on-one, and he said, Mitch, he's like, we've got the chance. Like, I looked at my first 3 years and said, that's good, but it's not going to be good enough in the Big 12. We got to retool this thing, and we're going to play a long-term game. And he kind of knew going in last year that it was going to be a transition season. I think fans expected a little bit more to not have the struggles against Idaho State and Missouri State and to go in close calls, but it's all come together. And they maintained the roster, which is impressive, because you could have thought, man, it's going to go sideways and these players don't believe in this system anymore. But they bought in, and they all ran it back, and then they've added a few pieces from the transfer portal with Ali Khalifa from Charlotte. We've yet to see UC Irvine transfer Dawson Baker, who many believe he maybe was one of the best players in training camp until he suffered an injury to his foot. This is a good team, and the leading scorer in this group is a guy coming off the bench, Jackson Robinson. He was a starter last year, embracing a new role, and he is flourishing for BYU.
The guys they brought in last year that they stuck by, and it goes two ways. It's credit to the program and credit to Mark Pope for keeping the continuity. And it's credit to those guys as well, Jackson Robinson and Noah Waterman, who don't really have any ties to BYU, believing in the program, staying here, staying with it. Robinson, his scoring has been fantastic. And I think he's been better defensively this year as well. I also like that he's taking care of the ball. And then Noah Waterman, to me, has been maybe the unsung hero of the team so far, because he's shooting the ball well. We saw flashes last year of him shooting the ball well. He had that horrific slump in conference play. But he never seemed to be physical last year. I didn't even see a desire to want to be physical from him. This year, he's rebounding the ball much better. He's a much tougher player. As you heard in the interview on Cougar Sports Saturday earlier in the week, he took a new approach, and he said, I'm not going to let shot-making dictate how I play. And I have seen that from him so far this year, where because he's not so worried about making every shot, he's actually making more shots because he's not worried about that, and he's playing better defensively as well. So the roster makeup, it's a stroke of brilliance from Coach Pope in the transfer portal era for you to say, you know what, we're going to dip in, but we're just going to supplement a couple things we need. We're not going to go grab five or six players. We're just going to get a few. I'm really interested in Dawson Baker whenever he comes back. Ali Khalifa, with the injury to Foose, has taken on a bigger role, but he's looking nice. He's coming back from injury as well. And then let's just develop the guys we have. And all of the guys that they brought back from last year, they're better. They're developing. That's a really good testament to this program.
There's some hope that maybe Dawson Baker could come back this week for the Utah game. Potentially, we'll see what ends up happening there with him, because he would be a huge boom to BYU. It's also been noteworthy, too, Mark Pope added a lot more support staff. They got 5 mental health coaches on the staff. They've had some remote scouting department where they've got some young college-age coaches that aren't not based in Provo. They're around the country, coast to coast, and they're putting together advanced scouting reports that help the coaching staff then put their scouting prep, like their games ahead down the road. And this coaching staff's maximizing its time to put together these great scouting reports. And I just think it's a well-oiled machine. Like, look, Mark Pope can rub people some the wrong way with how aggressive he is. But he's always looked at BYU basketball from the lens of he wants to dream big. That's why he took the job from day one. He wants to get BYU to a Final Four. And he knows now that being in the Big 12 gives them a platform to legitimately aspire to reach those heights. I mean, look, BYU could easily still, Matt, go into the Big 12 and be a 7-11, 6-12 team. It could happen, because you get one injury in this league, you're hitting the bottom of the barrel. This league's so balanced and so good. But they have positioned themselves with the way that they're playing. They're going to compete and be competitive, and they're going to have a chance to get to March Madness, which is something we didn't think was going to happen, be a conversation with this team heading into the year.
Before we get to break, is there another returning player from last year's team that has surprised you? I know we talked about Robinson and Waterman. Anyone else that's popped to you?
Spencer Johnson's done a great job. Spencer Johnson is so smooth, and he does it within the offensive set. I mean, he's so good, too, defensively with those pickpocket steals, and he creates easy baskets in transition. You watch what he did on Saturday against Fresno State. He's getting out in the open court, getting down court, and Jackson Robinson's finding him for an easy fast break point. Spencer Johnson, yeah, he's the oldest player in college basketball, and people have been giving him grief for that, saying, do you relate to your young teammates? Well, yeah, he relates, and he's doing a great job for BYU as the Cougars are rolling. 7-0 start. We'll talk about what's next for BYU this week. Big rivalry game. And a game before that as well. So it's Cougar Nation taking your phone calls and text 57500. You can text us 801-575-8255. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, right here on KSL News Radio.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Nation. We are thrilled to be back, taking your calls every single Monday, 6 to 7 p.m., and we need you, Cougar Nation, to light up the phone line every single Monday night. We want to hear your thoughts on this BYU basketball team. I'm really curious to hear what BYU fans have to say about this group, because this is what I have wanted for years. Up and down, three-point shooting, fun to watch. Rip it around. Like, this offense is not focused on one individual. It's a team effort. There's really likable guys in the program. Like, you and I are blessed to be able to interview these guys on a frequent basis, but there's some really likable guys. And that hasn't always been the case in the Mark Pope era. There's been some personalities that haven't been that fun to cover. That's not the case with this year's basketball team. So we're looking forward to having you on board for the rest of Big 12 first season basketball for BYU. We'll have a couple weeks off next week. There is a Jazz game that will be airing on KSL News Radio, so we will not be here next week. Then a couple weeks after that, for the holidays, we'll be on break. Look, we love talking sports, but we do want a break once in a while with our families. And then after that, every single Monday night, 6 to 7 p.m. right here.
It's basically Big Mondays. Like, remember the old days of the Mountain West where it was Big Mondays and BYU and Utah? It's back. Every Monday night, we're going to be holding it down, talking BYU and Big 12 hoops. And every single week here on the show, as we did during football, we're going to discuss what's trending up and trending down. What's trending up with this team? Well, man, there's so much to pick from. But I think we got to start with the fact that they're undefeated, and they are soaring. They are trending up, Matt, where they are in the upper echelon of the best teams in college basketball. You look at the predictive metrics right now, they are knocking on the door of being in the top five in college basketball. Like, they're reaching a threshold where they are at the level of the Jimmer Fredette senior season. Do you feel like you're getting that same feeling with this year's team of the run that we experienced with Jimmer Mania in 2011?
I'm not ready to say that. And you know what is interesting about that comparison is Jimmer Mania really took off when? Do you remember?
The shot at Utah.
The shot at Utah.
From 30 feet! Hang on! Hang on!
That's a great, great bell. I just think it's kind of interesting. What's the next big game on BYU Hoop's schedule? Yeah, they play tomorrow against Evansville. That's not the big game. The big game is the next game, this Saturday, at Utah, 5 p.m. tilt up at the Huntsman Center. This Utah team is improved. By no means do I think they're going to compete for the Pac-12 championship, but this is a challenge. And if they beat Utah and maybe there's a signature moment or performance by someone, could they be in the top 10 before Big 12 conference play starts? Like, they could be undefeated if they take down Utah, and we'll discuss that a little bit more in the next segment. But, yeah, I think you're trending up, that the metrics and kind of the hype behind this team is not quite Jimmer levels yet, but it's trending that direction. That's noteworthy.
What's trending up for you?
For me, A lot has been made about the three-point shooting, and rightfully so. That's the great equalizer in college basketball. You can overcome talent deficiencies if you're a great three-point shooting team. However, maybe a more impressive statistic is that BYU is nationally top 25 in assist-to-turnover ratio. This team struggled to take care of the ball last year. And there, I don't care how many threes you make. If you're giving another team 18 possessions because you just cough it up, you're going to struggle. The fact that this team, against Fresno State, that they had seven turnovers. If you are a single-digit turnover team and you're shooting the three ball well, we'll see you in March. It's that simple. And for them to continue to take care of the basketball, because I was a little unsure, you're in a new arena at the Delta Center against the Bulldogs. Is that going to translate? They played some games on the road. They continue to take care of the basketball. And now, with the exception of the Utah game, the rest of non-conference is at home. So they've got a real opportunity to build winning habits going into Big 12 play.
Whenever you go trending up, you do got to look at what's trending down. I got to say, Matt, there's not much trending down. So I feel like I'm splitting hairs with this one. It's a little bit funny, but it also is a concern because of the lack of depth of this position. I'm saying what's trending down, the temper of Atiki Aliatiki. Now, look, I love Atiki. Atiki is a heck of a guy, and I think there's still room to grow. He's got to perform nightly for BYU, but his presence on this team is critical. He's the number 2-5 behind Ali Khalifa right now as Fusini Traore continues to deal with a hamstring injury that keeps him out of the lineup. Atiki has shown far too often he throws a punch at Arizona State, gets ejected, and it kind of took away the celebratory vibes of a blowout win there in Vegas. And then on Friday night, he throws the ball down out of frustration, gets a technical. You can't do that. That put him at 2 fouls in the first half. Ali Khalifa, who's still working his way back from a knee injury, still kind of working his way to being in full tip-top game shape. He had to go the last 8.5 minutes in that half playing without a break. Atiki's got to be contributing, and he can't put his team at risk with technicals, with throwing punches. Can't do that. We saw him, too, in summer, throwing a punch at Trey Stewart. And look, I guarantee the old-timers at like BYU and even in the NBA, they're swinging and punching, and it's in practice, it's one thing. It was kind of shocking to see it in where the media is present, but that's got to be reined in with Atiki, I think, because if he has a couple fights, he could be suspended. That's the level.
He's lucky that the Arizona State skirmish was not deemed a fight.
Yeah,
because the rules are this: if you're wondering, one fight, automatic suspension. The second fight, done for the year. So he still has in his back pocket a fight, even though I wouldn't recommend.
Don't do it.
He still has that, but I like that trending down. I will say too on Atiki, I'm not seeing the development I was hoping for. I'm a little worried that he's never going to materialize into a starting caliber center in Big 12 conference play. But if he can be a quality reserve, that's good enough. Trending down for me, and it is hard to pick one. I'm going to go with Dawson Baker's role on the team. And that is not a criticism of his game, because we've heard stellar reviews in training camp before the injury. There is so much chemistry being had between Dallin Hall, Spencer Johnson, Trevin Nell, Jackson Robinson, Trey Stewart. He's had some nice moments. Where does he fit in? That's my concern. The longer it goes without him in there, is it going to be too much of a disruption to fit him in there? And maybe there's an injury that happens, knock on wood, it doesn't, that opens the door for him. But the longer he's out and the more success this group has, it's going to be harder to insert him in.
That's a great pull, because I think that's why this week would be great if he could get some minutes maybe against Utah and then down the stretch in non-conference against Bellarmine, against Wyoming. You're going to give him 10 minutes and be okay and still win games. You don't want to do it when it's BYU-Cincinnati.
Nope.
And the Big 12 game is at stake. Like, he's got to come back. You don't want to rush him and hurt his development in his game, but
he's running out of time.
That's a great point, because you don't want to mess up the vibes. And look, I think he was viewed as someone that's going to be a key factor on this team, but things change. And this team has changed expectations, the potential of what they have. We're looking at this group right now as an NCAA tournament team as a single-digit seed. You don't want to tamper that. BYU basketball doesn't flirt with that world often, and as much as everyone likes Dawson Baker, if he can't get back soon, you just got to continue business as usual with what's currently working.
All right, taking the break. On the other side, we'll look ahead to Evansville and a large game looming this weekend against the Running Utes. We'll break that down next.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation. Hope all of you are having a fantastic Monday night. Appreciate you spending it with us here on Cougar Nation every single Monday throughout the Big 12 schedule. From January to the Chase in March, we're going to be here 6 to 7 on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. BYU basketball has been on these airwaves since 1951. Back in the days when it was Roland Minson winning an NIT title. This has been the legacy home of the Cougars for BYU basketball right here on KSL News Radio. Tomorrow night, you'll hear BYU take on, can I call them this? Is it the Fighting Jerry Sloans of Evansville?
Yeah.
That's an homage to Jerry Sloan. Evansville rolls into Provo tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip, pregame at 6. And then Saturday, the big showdown, BYU, Utah at the Huntsman Center. We'll be there, 5 o'clock tip, pregame at 4. We'll have Cougar Sports Saturday from noon to 3. Big game. Evansville, I feel pretty good. BYU's going to win that one. I don't know if there's much to break down there, but BYU and Utah, Matt, this is a great test for BYU to go in their one true road game in non-conference play.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but how big is it? Because BYU has dominated this game lately.
Oh, yeah. You
and know, there's going to be a lot of BYU fans at this game.
I love that you say that, you know, because why does that not get brought up? We heard a lot about 9 in a row. Why is that? Why is the basketball streak don't count?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, no one brings up, what is it, 11 to 14? BYU's won?
Yeah. It's
Mark Pope has three in a row.
I'm trying to remember the last win. It would have been, was it?
It was Pope's first year in first overtime. Year. Utah with Rylan Jones won in overtime, and Pope was salty. You asked about the refs, and Pope
had
unhinged.
Ask. I had to ask.
You had to.
They were horrible.
They were awful. But really, even in the Dave Rose era,
domination.
Dominate. And last year, remember, BYU football was playing at the New Mexico Bowl. Rudy Williams went off for a big game, and that was a game Utah was favored, and BYU still took care of business. Craig Smith can't beat Mark Pope.
No.
And this might be one of the better chances for Utah to do it from the sense of they could be the second-best team in the Pac-12, and that might sound crazy.
That sounds crazy.
But the Pac-12 is down outside of Arizona. It's pretty much a bunch of, like, mediocre teams. I think
you don't like Mark Madsen's Cal Bears.
I do.
Fans going into the
look. I give Utah some credit this year. I do think they're an NCAA tournament team. I do. I think they're kind of a bubble, maybe 11 seed team. I do. I'm putting a lot of stock that I do believe this is a big game because that venue used to be a house of horrors for BYU, and even for Mark Pope that first year, it was tough. It's going to be an electric atmosphere, and it's also a tone setter for the Big 12. This is going to be a conference game once again beginning next year.
Yeah, it's a big game in the sense that Utah is better, and they pose a real challenge.
Better than they've been, not better than BYU.
Yes, pose a challenge in terms of size. But that was also the story last year, and that didn't seem to be that big of a deal. So I remember last year feeling like, oh, boy, they got Brendan Carlson, which they still have. How are they going to handle him? Yeah, he was okay, but they were fine. This game, to me, will come down to one thing and one thing only. And this is where I think the real test comes to play for BYU. Can you take your elite three-point shooting to a road venue, a rivalry venue, and can you knock down 12, 13, 14 threes and shoot it greater than 37%? If you can, I don't give a rip about the size. BYU will win because I don't trust Utah to be able to make enough shots from deep. Or is this does the moment get a little big for some players? Do they not shoot the ball as well? So that's what it comes down to for me. Brendan Carlson's going to have his way at moments because there's a tremendous size disadvantage there. And Utah, they're going to find some ways to get out in transition and make some plays. But can BYU make some threes? And there's a lot of guys that BYU can rely on to shoot. It's not just Trevenel. Spencer Johnson shot it well against Fresno State. Jackson Robinson off the bench. Could this be a game where he really cements himself as a legacy guy, like with a big off-the-bench performance, 20 points to beat Utah? So really it comes down to that for me.
For selfish reasons, I'm excited for this one because the last 2 years I haven't got to watch BYU-Utah. I was always conflicting with football. It was BYU-USC 2 years ago, then the New Mexico Bowl last year. So excited from that standpoint where there's no conflict. Like football fans, basketball fans, you can all zero in and enjoy BYU and Utah. Because, man, I got to say, like I love the history of this game. Like, yeah. It used to be a big, big deal. And I'm hoping that BYU and Utah has some sizzle again in the market. I think this is the best matchup between the two teams since the infamous punch of Nick Emery in 2015. It's been a minute. There just hasn't been much to it, in large part because Utah hasn't done much. BYU, really, from a national perspective, we followed them so closely, so we've seen the highs. But from a national scale, like, this is the best it's been maybe since Jimmer for BYU. So I hope that this can really ignite kind of the new era of BYU-Utah going into the Big 12. But Utah does have size with Brandon Carlson, Lawson Lovering, a Colorado transfer, 7-1. They got Kiba Keita, 6'8" guy who BYU recruited a little bit, kind of went over with Chris Burgess. And there's some interesting dynamics there. Chris Burgess still on the staff, year two. Jake Wallin, they got him. He hasn't played too much of a role. But then Hunter Erickson, a guy that, Mark Pope kind of probably was like, it's probably best that you move on. There's not much of a role waiting for you. Tore it up at SLCC. Now he's got a role within that Utah program.
Don't let him go off. Don't let him be the next Rylan Jones.
Connor Harding.
Yeah.
UVU sort of deal.
Yep. So you got to believe Hunter Erickson, this is his Super Bowl, right? To prove BYU wrong. So you got to be ready for that because he's going to be coming for you. And this game has a way of making role players heroes. And who is it going to be on one side or the other that becomes a name? Last year, Rudy Williams, like he was up and down. We thought he should have been on the bench, whatever. Hero for beating Utah. Peyton Dastrup, do you remember him being
a
hero?
That's right.
So,
wow. He was at practice recently.
Right. So don't let that be Hunter Erickson, because that's the guy where I would be wary of him off the bench.
That's a great pull, too, because this series has had a knack for that over the years. And look, there's been great history, too. I mean, I think back to, what was it, Marshall Henderson and that fake flop with Jackson Emery. And there was those battles with Andrew Bogut and Rafael Araujo. Man, there's just been some good heat to BYU-Utah on the hardwood. It's been forgotten because it's like, well, Utah's a football school, and BYU, like, we're just focused on football. I think football in general has absorbed the oxygen of the nation's interest in sports so much. But I think there's a potential for a rise in interest again in college basketball because of the Big 12. Like, I'm telling you, folks, like, if you haven't watched any Big 12 games this year, take the time to maybe watch Kansas, watch even
Baylor.
Like, yep. There is such good basketball, and BYU is going to be challenged against it. And I think that's one of the fun things as we wrap up the show, Matt, is that whether they win or lose on Saturday against Utah, BYU still controls its destiny. It's not like this is make or break. You don't get many of these opportunities. You got to win. And BYU, this fast start, they will truly be tested. We will know if they're worthy of an NCAA tournament bid because they're going to go through the grind of the Big 12 schedule. No longer is it going to be, how good are they really? They might have won 25 games, but, they didn't really play anyone. BYU, if you win 25 games this year, you're going to go, that's a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's right. Never existed for this program. And that's why there's so much excitement. There's so much buzz. That's why we're so excited to host Cougar Nation during this hoop season. It's a great team. I think people are going to like the stories of this group. We hope to get some interviews with some of these guys. It's going to be a fun BYU basketball season. I think Saturday night's going to be a blast.
We'll see you in a few weeks. Jazz next week and then the holidays, and then we're back after that. Have a Merry Christmas, Cougar Nation. And listen to us every Saturday, Cougar Sports Saturday. We'll be getting you ready for the Cougars and the Utes. Next, this upcoming Saturday, I should say. So that'll do it for Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We'll see you next time.